What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Wednesday edition of Unpaved. He is Sean Salisbury. You can follow him at Sean Unfiltered. I am Adam Sager. You can follow me at Adam G. Sager. Make sure you follow, like, subscribe to our channel on YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, iTunes. You can go find all our accounts on Instagram, X.com, TikTok, Facebook. Am I leaving any other social media platforms off there? There's so many now, but Threads, we are on there. You can find our show every single day. So get out there, whatever platform you use, find Unpaved with Sean Salisbury. Follow, like, subscribe, and get the notices when we go live every single day at noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Sean, how are we feeling today?
I'm doing phenomenal, brother. I'm doing phenomenal. I'm glad I'm not in New York because I don't want Snake Plissken from Escape from New York. Don't come seeing us. Okay. I'm doing great. I don't have to. One of the greatest cities in the world is going to, well, they made the bed. Now they're going to have to sleep in it. You ain't getting any of that stuff for free. So it's been on my mind. But you know what, thanks. I'm not going to be a hater about that today, although I should. The thing I don't understand. That is a tremendous Jewish community in the city of New York, right, Sakes? Matter of fact, there's more Jewish people in the city of New York than anywhere in the United States. And we had a real bad tragedy happen there a long time ago, right, Sakes, in New York City? And it's still in everybody's mind one of the worst, well, maybe the worst in possibly American history on our soil and in that city, in that great city.
Modern day U.S. history, for sure.
That's what I'm talking about, modern day. I love going there because I just, you know, I know people that love living there, want to stay there, but New York City, there's always that buzz going in there, excitement. It's changed for me over the years, still good people. But the same things, and then the new elected who hates their culture and their religion is now who's going to run the city. I'm just trying to figure out the whole common sense of this. I honest to God, you ain't getting it for free, doesn't know policy. I just don't understand the common sense of the very people that hate you are the very people you just elected. It's almost like we're living in a, this isn't real world. It's right. Crazy. So, you know what, but they spoke and they elected it. Now they're going to have to deal with it. And if you want socialism and communism and hate, for religions and race, then I guess you elected the right person there. From my vantage point, they are one of the greatest cities and the most important financial city in the country is going to have to watch closely and for the wrong reasons, sadly enough, how soon that community forgot. And I guess that people hating your religion or your culture or the way you were, your lifestyle, is a way to get making sure you hate them with the same people that will help elect you is absolutely beyond me. I don't get it. But you know what? I'm here in Texas, and guess what? While they think it may happen here, it's not going to. I just hope that it doesn't. I hope we put a limit to put a stop to that. I'm trying to be as kind as I can. On this, because you don't want to, you're just bitter. I'm not bitter at all. Listen, I'm all for it. If it's fair and you elect it. But remember, when you elect it, you get to deal with it.
Yes.
So that's all I'm telling you. And I think the suck factor with some great people went up. The suck factor just went up into, like we said there, there's some really good people in some good places in New York. Unfortunately, you just made a great city worse. You really did. And they will regret the decision, in my opinion.
100%. All right, I'm going to start today's show off with our poll question for today. I'll give you our results of yesterday's in a little bit. But we start with our poll question because it leads off our topic, our first topic of the show. Who would you have had number one in your first college football playoff rankings that came out last night? And your options are OSU, Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, or other. If you wanted Alabama, Georgia, whoever else you wanted to throw in there with the possibility of being number one in the college football rankings. It did come out. It is Ohio State at number one, according to the committee. Did you have a problem with Ohio State? Did you think that Texas A&M's resume is a little bit better. Did you think that Indiana beating some teams like they have, then going out to Austin and beating Oregon, did you think they should have been number one? Or are you okay with Ohio State?
One of the big signature wins of the year was the win by Indiana at Oregon in a big fashion, Segs. Yes. It really was. But to me, here's the way I look at this. Kind of like boxing. Now, we don't have a great heavyweight division, and I'm just referring to heavyweights like we used to with Frazier and Ali. And the heavyweight division has never been the same and never will be. That being said, the heavyweight's Ohio State. And what do you when you're in any boxing match, you got to knock out the champion. Our philosophy is knock them out to beat them, right? Yep. And I understand body of work. Listen, in a head-to-head right now, I can make the argument that A&M's is good. I mean, if they were to play head-to-head, Indiana and Ohio State and Texas A&M and Indiana, I can argue that A&M won't have to take a backseat to any of them because they're doing what they haven't normally done at this time of year, Segs.
Right.
They're physically not wilting. They rolled into LSU. Hell, when they went into LSU a couple weeks ago, Segs, wasn't it 18-14 at halftime, LSU? And they dismantled them in the second half. So this is – and I think that's why people are still nationally – Texas, they're sold on them. Just like they're sold on Texas Tech, they're starting to be resold on Texas because with the new – I mean, the new player, the new poll, there's three teams in Texas that are within – you know, in that inside the playoff range or within striking distance. Right. So making – that's A&M, Texas Tech, and University of Texas. So – but I still think because of – people nationally still treat A&M like they're Texas's little brother, right? They just do. I'm not saying they should, but they do. And I think on the national scale, Segs, you know this, certain parts of the country, you're just not going to give A&M because they think at times that A&M, oh, seen the movie, right?
Yeah.
This A&M team, I'm just telling you, they are different and the quarterback play is different. But I can't, you can't put anybody ahead of Ohio State right now. They're the champ. They've done nothing to they've been impressive. Their quarterback's good. They've done nothing. They can only play the schedule thrown in front of them. So they have done nothing that tells me you knocked out the heavyweight champion just yet. But, and if I was a betting man for all home games, I would still pick Ohio State because of that. But if you're telling me right now, if you said, Sean, can Texas A&M really win the whole thing? Oh, they absolutely can, especially this year. But that poll's right. I voted for Ohio State. But if you're sleeping on Texas A&M, you're making a mistake. And I think people even more are going to say, well, do you believe in Indiana? Maybe if you're on the West Coast and you haven't watched them enough, you say, it's Indiana. Are you kidding me?
Right.
They're different as well. To me, Ohio State is number one, deserves to be number one until you beat them and prove to me otherwise. But if you're saying, Sean, do you believe in a futures bet on Kalshi that you could pick in a futures prediction – that you'd be safe and say that A&M, and it's not going to get much easier, that A&M can go do this thing? The answer is yes. But because I think there's more parity right now than we've had in a while. Ohio State not only lost Chip Kelly, Ohio State lost their offensive and defensive coordinator,
yes.
And they are still flowing. So all three are real. Ohio State's the only pick right here right now, Sakes, considering they're still the champion, and you got to do more than disrupt them. You got to beat them or you got to see somebody else knock them out. Right now, they deserve to be number one.
When we heard Mac Rhodes come on and talk with Reese Davis, as he will every single Tuesday night when they announce these rankings until the final selection show, did you like the fact that we heard him saying like, oh, what's the reason that Texas A&M is behind these two or whatever it was? He was mentioning, oh, well, we watched the games and we're breaking down their offensive lines and we're breaking down this and we think this offensive line better. We think this defensive line controls the line of scrimmage better. When we're talking about a lot of ADs, we're talking about some people that aren't even in football like we've had in the past. And we do have some former players, some former coaches in there as well. But do you like it when the committee is looking at it like that, or do you think it should be more resume, strength of schedule, all that kind of stuff over what we think they see when it comes to the eye test and breaking down offensive lines and stuff like that?
I'm results oriented, brother. And I'm a team. This is it ain't golf or tennis. If you want to tell me Scheffler's swing's not right now. And that's why he's number one, but we're a little concerned. which you're not going to say because he's number one for a reason. I get it. But in a team game, do I really care if one guy's not as good, the right guard's not as good as the left guard, but if they're getting it done and dominating people, the result, this is result, not the potential. Well, the offensive line will be better 3 weeks from now. Now, the only position I'd say different is like what happened to Florida State when their quarterback got hurt. I get why they got diminished. I do.
Yes.
And they shrunk them down because that's different. If all of a sudden you say, I love Alabama, hell, they got LSU coming to town, and it's the first time in how many years that we've thought LSU and Alabama, this is an afterthought game. Of course, Alabama's kicking their ass with the way they played. But it still is the SEC. It's still pride involved. But if you loved Alabama, are you going to say, well, you know what, it's not Nick Saban, so I can't pick. The coach isn't as good as Nick Saban. No, you got to go by what we're seeing this year, not next year, but you do got to look at who they beat, how they beat them, how improved they made, all those things. I don't have a problem with you saying, well, they're starting three running backs are hurt. That diminishes them. So I think the other team's better. But I'm judging to this point, Siggs, what you've done and who you've done it against, aren't you? So that holds more water. Now, I call BS on one thing. Give me the – what do we have, 13? Is it 13 of them that are in that room? Is that what it is?
Yes, 13
committee members? When they say we're studying the – get the fuck out of here, okay? Give me that. I want to know. I know who that we can find him, but I don't have him sitting in front of me. The 13 committee members. I've been with players that don't know how to study tape that have been in the league 3 years that don't know what they're looking at. So if you're going to do that, then I want three guys from Pro Football Focus in that room. Save it. You don't know how to study the tape, so stop telling me you know what the right guard's technique's supposed to be to get to the second level on this. There may be some in that room. Like I think last year, my guy Randall McDaniel was on the committee. Mm-hmm. He played at Arizona State, was a teammate. Anyway, he's either last year or year before. Now I get it because Randall knows. And I'm not saying some athletic director, he may have played, doesn't know how to read tape, or even if there's a female in there. I think Condoleezza Rice has been in there in the past. Maybe she's still on. I don't even know who's on the committee right now, Segs. But ADs, which I have a problem with that. If you're a Power 4 team and you're on the committee, I got a real problem with it. It's a current AD. But some do, but I'm just telling you, Rodney, do you really think all 13 know how to study tape? Do they know what they're looking at? That they know? So that speech of we're studying. You're studying results, and the guy got pancaked. That looked good. You're not studying the intimate details that coaches study. If you were, then you'd put more on the committee. Former coach, there'd be 9 of them. If you want to do that and just go football, I wouldn't have a problem with. Go straight football. Hell, some of them may be scorned by teams that got rid of them anyway, so they may not even play favorite to their ex-team. So save me the BS. Give me strength of schedule, who they're playing, the way it's looked, the margin of victory, all those things that come into play, Siggs. And I don't know which one should have more percentage. I know this, though, worrying about what the right guard did to get to the second level, even though he's a walk-on and now he's a scholarship guy, that ain't what I'm studying. And save me the bullshit of telling me that 13 people are watching tape of all 25 or 30 or 40 teams are watching every week. Exactly. That's a lie. That's a flat-ass lie, and not a lie on purpose. That's hyperbolic bullshit, and you and I both know it.
And you mentioned something a few minutes ago when you said it's about who you play. It's about what you've done on the field. It's about, you know, kind of putting everything together. And if you were on X.com last night and you were looking at everybody's tweets, and once all this came out, the overwhelming talk was about Notre Dame. It was clear. And one of the questions I had for today that I kind of teased yesterday is, what are they going to think about the ACC? It's clear by these rankings, they don't think the ACC is any good. You've got a one-loss Virginia, a one-loss Louisville, and now a two-loss Miami, 14, 15, and 18. But
with a couple games to go. Three games to go, right?
Yes.
Something like
And with that, you have Notre Dame sitting at 10, who lost to Miami, who has two losses just like Miami, but yet they are 8 spots higher than Miami. Louisville beat Miami. Miami beat Notre Dame. They only have one loss. They are 4 spots behind Notre Dame. So spare me with the I'm watching tape and this offensive line's better than this team and all that bullshit. You are putting teams up there that you like. You are putting teams up there that you think will draw a bigger audience. And don't try and, you know, piss in my face and tell me it's raining, basically, as you like to say a lot.
Well,
it's bullshit.
Yeah, if you're going to say this, Segs, if you're going to tell me that you give Notre Dame extra credit for beating Miami or for losing to Miami, right? That they get credit, right. You know what I'm saying? Now, then I guess LSU should be getting a lot more credit for beating Clemson, right?
Right.
No, they shouldn't, because Clemson's not any good.
Exactly.
And so my point is, you can't, and you know when that comes in, I'm just going to simply say it. It's called brand value, brother. Notre Dame's brand is always going to trade, all things being equal. Even if somebody had a better loss than Notre Dame, whatever plays into that, to me, it matters. They'll tell us what the criteria is, but do you think they follow the criteria to the T? No. They don't. And you and I both know it. There's favorites. There's this one. Who's going to be the bigger draw? Who in the long run? And I'm going to tell you what happened last year is probably going to affect some of these teams. The SMU, Boise State, what happened to them last year, Segs, will probably affect this one, because they're going to look and say, well, we did what we were supposed to do. Those teams earned it. Well, guess what? Now you're going to get to a point on certain. I'm talking about if you're not one of the at the top of the list, where you're one of the first four that they're going to play. If you're sitting on the cusp, they're going to favor brand value more. And Notre Dame is going to get credit for a Miami loss. They are, and you and I both know it.
Yep.
More credit than somebody else is going to get for a loss that's equivalent when the team was good at the beginning, but not good later on, right? Right now, the way Miami's playing, that's not a huge that doesn't deserve a ton of credit. Well, at the time they were playing well, at the time you had Cade Klubnik winning the Heisman Trophy and Clemson being in the national championship game. Okay. So what I'm talking about, Sakes, how it fits. So they're studying brand name, brand value is going to matter. And I'm going to tell you what, it'll piss a lot of people off. Notre Dame will get the benefit of the doubt. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm not in the committee, but I can tell you this, and their first two, and they're playing really good football, and I get it. But you can tell that the value sits with the SEC and the Big Ten, and you're going to have to do a hell of a lot in the ACC to do it. And maybe the ACC is overrated, but please tell me how you got to it, as opposed to we're studying offensive line tape. You know, that don't embarrass yourselves by giving me this nonsense, because you damn well know you're not, unless it's one or two guys telling the other 11, here's exactly what happened with the line play. You got to give them more credit. What does that have to do? As long as I'm getting results and you're physical, I don't really care what the names are. I care who's playing the best brand of football. And if you don't give me the best 12, then you're not doing it the right way.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, we can talk about Texas being up at, I believe they're 11. I just had it up here. Yes, they're at 11. They lose to a 3-5 Florida team who's not very good, who fired their coach. And then you have, again, Miami. And I'm not just trying to pine for Miami. I don't care where Miami is, but they lose to a good SMU team. And it's like, here's Texas at 11. Here's Miami at 18. We got, Texas has played like basic shit besides the OU game and this last game.
And OU was with an injured John Mateer.
Yes.
So he was coming off. He hadn't played. But in a
probably should have been bye week.
Right, he did. Now listen, I'm here, and I don't have a problem. I love Sark and the rest of it. But we're being fair here now, and you're exactly right. So I will tell you this: let's say we didn't have preseason rankings going in. We didn't rank anybody. We just let the schedule dictate, and then the victories. And after the week one, we threw it in just based on results. Boom, mm-hmm. boom, 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 and power, strength of schedule, who you're playing, where you're playing them, how much you beat them by, all that. Body of work this year, not who the coach is, not reputation, who the quarterback is. Have you seen 11 teams better on a consistent basis in Texas? Listen, their signature win, it's hard for me to call OU a big time thing. I know it's a rivalry game, so everything can happen, but they still weren't at full strength. And that's fair. I mean, so that's got to come into play in my thought if I'm a committee member, correct?
Yeah.
It should. It did with Florida State. Even though he couldn't play, Mateer was at a very – now, Texas's defense made it more miserable, but he wasn't the Mateer we saw health-wise early in the season. So, Segs, there's one part. But you cannot tell me, of the three teams, Texas Tech, Texas A&M, and Texas, the body of work is far better from Tech and A&M right now, the way they've played, just the optics, than Texas. If you hadn't had a preseason ranking or known the situation at Texas with the high-pubbed quarterback – and a team that's been to the Final Four a couple of times, and they got a big brand, and they are talented. I'm talking about production this year. they wouldn't be in your top 15. And you and I both know it.
Right.
They would not be in your top 15. Georgia Tech's played better consistent football than University of Texas has this year. Mm-hmm. A&M has. Tech has. We can go. That doesn't mean I don't think Texas can go on a roll now. If they listen, if Texas plays like they did against Vanderbilt, now think about this. 4 years ago, we'd have left and say, oh, you beat Vanderbilt. Now, that is a huge quality win with the way Vandy's turned their program around. And they kicked their ass. Make no mistake about it. I know Vandy got back into it.
Yeah, it got close, Texas, but it was.
Yeah, but Texas dominated the game. Yeah. If they give me that every week and have this conversation in 2 weeks, different story. But if we're just going by body of work and not brand name and preseason hype, you can't say Texas has played like 10 of the best 11 teams in the country. You just can't. Doesn't mean they're not one of the best 11, but by the committee, Texas is probably too high based on preseason and the fact that we had a ranking system in August as opposed to in-your-face optics production this year. Or maybe it's just they put them 11 because we don't have 12 teams. I mean, a bunch of teams worthy of being in the top 12 right now. You get my point, Segs, but mm-hmm. there's no damn way you can say that they have a bunch of signature wins. And the wins they did have before they beat Oklahoma were blah. Eh, whatever, not that big a deal. And, you know, they got beat by the number one team. So I get Texas, but you can tell the committee, all things being equal, won't be equal when it comes to making a decision down the stretch.
And it's just frustrating because when we watch these rankings every week, one thing you hear a lot is strength of wins, your best wins. You know, how is your top win versus this team's top win or your top two wins versus this team? And again, we always talk about it, the SEC love that the committee shows. And the SEC, in my opinion, is the best conference.
Agreed.
But when you have situations, you know, and I'm just going to keep throwing scenarios at you. Tennessee's over Illinois at 25. Does it really matter the college football playoff? No. But when we talk about these kinds of stuff, Illinois has lost to number one, number two, and number 23. Their best win was number 19, USC. 6-3 Tennessee, same record. Lost to 4-5-12. Their best win is Mississippi State, and their strength of record is 29. So now they flipped it on their head, and they said, oh, well, technically you have better losses than Illinois, even though Illinois has a ranked win over USC. But, well, they're SEC, so it's tougher, so we're going to put them in and leave you out. So there's just all these little things that, you know, when people say, oh, there's an SEC bias. Yeah, when you look at this, you can kind of see it. And they don't try and hide it.
You can, and you know what? Doesn't matter who. So you can't deny that.
Right.
Now, does that mean, well, listen, does that mean that the ACC, well, they should get more love? No, it just means that the truth is it is the best conference. But when it's right down to it, they're thinking bigger picture. They're going to take an SEC team. Put it this way. All of, let's say strength of schedule, everything's equal, Sakes. And you're the ninth team. And you're an SEC team. That the quality, the power ranking losses and wins are the same. But somehow, some way, the formula worked out where they're pretty equal, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking about that an ACC, the Georgia Tech, let's say two teams, let's say they all have, they're down to the last the 10, 11, and 12 with two losses. Yeah. And it's Georgia Tech or an SEC team. And the strength of schedule, that the measurables look exactly the same. Does that make sense? Yeah. Who do you think they're taking?
SEC.
Who do you think they're taking? Sure they are. And you can't deny that because they're going to say, what they're going to say is, well, the overall conference isn't as good as the SEC. You're right. But were their strength of losses at the time they lost or won, the team that was ranked, do you get credit for that? You can't judge those games by the overall SEC unless you've had head-to-head play against them and you can compare them. That's my point. So if it, I don't know, Sigs. I don't know how much they tell you this is a percentage. We want this, and this is what, and we put a lot on this. But the truth is you got to take it all in. But there's some things that have to, in your mind, even though they may talk about it and say it does it really have to hold more weight than others? And you just gave a very significant one with the Illinois and the Tennessee thing. So it just comes down to it that a team in the ACC, if the power rankings that they won and lost are the exact same as an SEC team at the end, it's like, damn, it's 6-1, half dozen the other. The SEC, they're going to say, well, the SEC conferences is tougher. Well, what's that have to do with they both played the same guys, have the same wins, same losses in the power rankings? I don't care about the 12th team in the SEC. It had nothing to do with this game or this choice. They are more than likely going to choose the team that is the SEC nine times out of 10. And the 10th time will be because the quarterback of the other team may be hurt. Who the hell knows, right? That's the way it's going to work, and you know it. And SEC deserves credit. It's not. I don't have a bias. Hell, I want the 12 best teams in it. And right now, body of work, reputation is going to win over more often than sometimes body of work. And that's just the way it works, especially if other things are equal.
And another thing, we kind of look back at Notre Dame. You know, I was just looking at the top 25. When you just talk about head-to-head, it obviously matters. We've got Georgia over, just beat Ole Miss not too long ago. They're ahead of them. Texas beat Oklahoma. They're one spot ahead of them. You've got USC beat Michigan. USC's two spots ahead of them. Michigan beat Washington. They're Michigan's two spots ahead of Washington. And I'm sure there's others in there.
Head-to-head has to matter to me. It does, right. No doubt.
And that's where I go back to, okay, you have Miami and Notre Dame. Notre Dame has one more win because Miami has not played their ninth game yet. They had a bye. But Miami beat Notre Dame, and they're eight spots lower. Then you have Louisville again. So it's just, they tell us one thing with the rankings, just the way they ranked them. But then when it comes to Notre Dame, it's like, no, we're going to do it different. It's just, there's so many little things that you look at, and it's frustrating because then you listen to Mac Rhodes or whoever the chair is come on every Tuesday, and he's telling you shit like, oh, we watched the offensive lines, or, you know, oh, well, we liked this win better than this, yet your rankings tell us, no, that's wrong. There's just no real talk every Tuesday.
Yeah, the structure. I'd love to be sitting in one of those meetings and really know what the banter is about and why they dropped. Like you said, Miami got Notre Dame when they're playing good. Notre Dame's playing really good now, yet head-to-head matters. And Miami beat Notre Dame. They're not just one spot behind him. They're way behind him. So they're putting a lot more stock into the way Miami lost to the other opponent they lost to, right? You know what I'm saying?
It's recency. Notre Dame lost their first two games. Miami's lost, but yet the rankings aren't supposed to do that. It's supposed to be resume.
It's the full season. We play them. They're real. Yeah, so you got to play them. But Seg, recency bias does matter. Because going into this game, Texas playing Vanderbilt, there is no way on God's green earth Texas is anywhere near the top 10 or 11, 12 teams. They're just not. Their body work was not the way they played, the optics of their offense, all of it. Sans a few series and a few games. And quite frankly, in a couple of those games, it was against teams that you're supposed to beat by 40.
Right.
So, yet the optics, they did Vanderbilt, Arch plays well. Those optics, and they're recent. So what do you do? Oh, man, that's on your mind. Most people are forgetting that Notre Dame got off to a slow start against two good teams and lost early in the season. So they're not holding it against them in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
And you just see the discrepancy between Miami and Notre Dame. And if they played again right now, the way Notre Dame's playing, they'd be a fairly heavy favorite to win the game. Yet Miami put that on them early, which goes back to the right quarterback play and that. But SEC and Notre Dame are always going to have a little bit of extra favoritism towards them just because brand does matter when it comes to the committee.
And I mean, another last thing here on the college football playoff rankings. If you're a team, don't schedule tough out of conference opponents right now. Just don't do it. If you're Michigan, let's just say I'm a fan of Michigan. If they scheduled Bowling Green instead of Oklahoma in the second week of the season and they go win that game, they're now sitting at 8-1 going into a bye week, got three games left. You know, Northwestern, Maryland, who they should beat, and then it's Ohio State. You're 9-1. You're probably sitting anywhere from 10 to 14 right now. Instead, you're sitting at 21 because you did play Oklahoma. You did lose, and they beat you up pretty bad. But if you don't schedule them, the committee ain't going to – it's not going to change anything. They're going to go by record and what you've done, and they would have been in the hunt to be in the playoff.
Wouldn't you schedule easy, like you said? Why schedule easy wins non-conference? Why wouldn't you?
Right.
Why wouldn't you? And then go beat the good teams in your conference, and you'll get so much love. It'll be crazy. And Mike Fitter, you make a great point. All right, where did Vanderbilt lose this week? Who'd they lose to? UT. Where was that game played?
Austin.
Austin, correct? Yeah. That game was played in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
Notre Dame's lost two games as well. I'm just using this as an example. What's the difference between Notre Dame and Vanderbilt?
Again, this is where it just...
Where did...
Notre Dame. That's the difference.
People still having trouble buying into the Vandy's, 7-2? It's hard for them to understand, or six, whatever. I think it's seven. I think they went into Texas 7-1 and got beat.
7-2.
And they made a valiant comeback. So it really wasn't a bad one. It was a field goal. Got down to 34-31 at the end. I know it came late, but they still, if you didn't even see the game, saw the score, you'd say it's still 34-31. What happened to Texas late to allow these scores, allow them to creep back in? That's what you'd be thinking, even though Vanderbilt got pushed around for the majority of the game. So point is, and the high-profile quarterback in Diego Pavia. So my point is, and Mike makes a good point, while I think Notre Dame would be favorite no matter where they play, if they played Vandy, but are we talking body of work or what's going to happen 3 weeks from now? So you could make the argument, which gets bad. And then here's the argument. Well, Vandy's an SEC team. Yeah, but they've been an SEC. Even Nick Saban admitted a week or two ago on the set of College Game Show. Yeah, he's like, that's what he said. He goes, I'm just still having a hard time putting Vanderbilt's that, because normally they were a bye week on the schedule. That was an easy win that backup freshmen were going to get a play chance to play. Well, Vandy's changed the culture and they're playing damn good football. So if they equal, and like I said, that's a perfect comparison. What happens if it got to the point six? Both of them got two losses and both of them have quality wins, and their quality wins and losses were equal in a power ranking system, whatever that is. Who do you think's going to, and it was for the last spot, who do you think's going?
Notre Dame.
And you know who knows that? Vandy and the rest of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just sitting here looking at their season so far. So Notre Dame's lost two now, as it stands with the College Football Playoff rankings, 3-18, Texas A&M and Miami. Vanderbilt's lost to 4-11. Vanderbilt's best win is number 22, Missouri. Notre Dame's best win is 19, USC.
So based on that,
and they play in the SEC.
Where's Vanderbilt ranked in this right now, Sigs?
16.
And where's Notre Dame?
10. Six spots behind.
Okay, and so is that what you just read out worthy of six spots? The answer is no.
No.
So they beat a higher-ranked team by three slots, but the combined losses of the two teams' rankings, Vanderbilt's is better.
Right.
So so I'm just asking. I'm a naive college football fan. So I want the committee to explain to me why Notre Dame over Vandy.
Exactly.
What's the reason? And I don't have a legitimate one other than what? They're Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And they're good. And recency bias comes in. The last vision you've got of Notre Dame is they played really good football, right? The last vision you got of Vandy, kind of sloppy until the end when they picked it back up. But the game was a lot of people, I'm sure, probably turned it off until they looked at the score. What? They're back in with a field goal, right? Within a field goal or a touchdown. So it is the recency of it that they think that because, Notre Dame played better recently than Vandy did on one game against the Texas team that played their, by far and away, their best game of the year.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. Crazy.
And when you look at the rest of the season for those two teams, Vandy has a game, I believe it's at Tennessee. So the 25th ranked team as of right now as it stands, and Notre Dame travels to Pitt, who's the 24th ranked team.
Right.
So it's not like their schedules are going to change. The other games that they play are games they should win.
Right. And so
Vandy has no shot, basically, unless teams in front of them lose.
They got to get some help. At 7-2, and they're begging for help
right now, based off everything else we see in the rankings.
Based nine games in, Segs, that's all I'm basing it on.
Yeah.
The body of work nine games in. And Dr. J makes a good point. And I've often wondered this. A win's a win's a win. That's why we talk about scheduling easy shit during the non-conference games. But what would you say is more impressive? A Vanderbilt loss to Texas in Austin by 3 or Notre Dame beating BC? What would hold – I know the win holds more weight, Six, but – Vanderbilt's beaten BC by 20 as well. Okay, they're going to curb stomp them as well. Yeah. And I know a win is more important. I'm not saying it's not. I get it. But I can tell you this, a win against Bowling Green or Boston College is not better than keeping it close in the end against Texas to me. Because if right now, if Notre Dame played Vandy, I'd pick Notre Dame to win. But I guarantee you Notre Dame would be really concerned about Vandy's playmaking. The question is, Vandy probably be a little concerned. Is Notre Dame going to run the ball downhill and two-way and kill me? I get it. But it is, it's pretty obvious that where they hold it, and it's the recency part of it. So it's not a quality win beating BC. As I've said before.
Yeah, and it was only 25-10. It wasn't like they destroyed them. Notre Dame played sloppy against
BC. That's going to hold 1,000 times more value than a loss to a team who by many standards was supposed to be in the national championship game this year in the University of Texas, and Vandy lost them. Vandy doesn't have the name value as Notre Dame, and they're not going to have the brand value, and they're going to have help, because even if they win the rest of their games, they're going to get left out if everybody in front of them wins, no matter what the quality is. I'm just telling you, and you and I know it.
Yeah.
Everything being equal as it is now.
And hell, I mean, you can go all the way to the top of these rankings in Ohio State. Ohio State beat a Texas team that until very recently we've thought isn't a very good team.
Yep.
Bottom half of the top 25, maybe outside the top 20. And then they beat Vandy, which was a good win, but it was at home. So, I mean, how much stock do you really put into Ohio State, who has no other good wins? Illinois, that's their only other good win. Washington, fine. But it's just, you look at Indiana has the big win against Oregon. There's just so many layers to it.
It goes back to brand name, and the national champion is still undefeated. Back to the boxing analogy where you got to knock out the champion to beat him, to get him out of the first spot.
You can continue to peel layers off this onion, and
no doubt.
And it goes every way. And I know the committee has a hard job, but on the simple little things that are staring you in the face, you got to get those right.
I'd love to be a committee member for 1 year's sakes, where you can go in there and argue this. I mean, banter with your people about, so tell me why, and to have somebody stand up there and tell me why this team belongs more than this team. Well, Sean, okay, well, you're basically saying what I'm saying, so you didn't validate anything. So I'd like to know and present it. I don't know what goes on. I mean, I know what goes on there, but the deep dive, I would love to be in there as a football guy wondering if it's all football decisions or how much of it comes in, little PR, little brand, little recency bias, all that stuff.
Or I want to know, you got 13 members. Every member should be filling out a top 25. Their own top 25, and then they can banter
in private. Yes,
they do it on their own.
Then bring it together.
Bring it in, and then you put out every damn member's top 25 out after the announcement's made, and then we can see. Okay, this guy thinks this. You know, thinks Notre Dame's the fourth ranked team, and probably that's why now they're at 10 instead of 16 where they should be, or something like that. And we can kind of point out, like, okay, well, you know, this guy's got Miami at 6, so clearly he's not watching or she's not watching. You know, it's just little things that I think they need to be more proactive in showing us.
So do we think that, like, do we stand up there? I'm just asking, and maybe we know this, maybe I don't, but the committee, you know, with all the changes. Do they stand up there and a guy gets up there and they say, okay, everybody's got their list in front of them, and pound it like they do for a Hall of Fame guy, like when you say, this guy should be in the Hall of Fame and here's why. Or do they do it? Do you guys all write down your top 25? And then we just take the power. If 8 guys have Ohio State 1, then they're 1. They got the majority, you know, where the power comes in. And then that's who it is. And then we banter after. Or am I sitting there trying to sell you why Ohio State's better than Indiana? Or why Texas is better than Vandy? Or why Notre Dame should be ahead of Miami? Am I selling it after the fact that we already got it in and here's why we got it in? Or are you getting it in, and then after you get the results of everybody's combined, and then the power, if 9 people have Ohio State and 2 people first place votes go to, or 4 first place votes go to Indiana, then guess who 1 and 2 is? Unless, of course, 13 second place votes trump it and moves them up in whatever point system you're putting on it, and then you sell me on it afterwards. Are you trying to change my mind in the committee room? That's what I'm asking.
I think how's that go? I bet you they have. They probably do something along the lines of, and I don't know, but they do something along the lines of, everybody puts in their top 25. We come up with a list, and now we can banter, go back and forth. Okay, if you think Notre Dame should be 10, tell me why. And then they're like, oh, okay, I can see that. Yeah, here, let's put Notre Dame here. And yeah, maybe there are certain people that get up and speak a little bit louder if they have Ole Miss at 3. Why do you have Ole Miss at 3? Well, we got them at 7, 8, and 9 here. Why? And then they banter back and forth. Yeah. And, okay, let's put them 6 or something. At least that's what I hope it should be.
Right. I don't want 13 people just throwing out names and all of a sudden they list them. I want you to put your in private when you're then it tells me accountability. You've been watching games, you're on your own during the week, you're studying it, looking at tape if that's what you got to look at, talking to people, and then so you all everybody here's put your name on the top of it. Here's the 13th, and here's how it's ranked in a point system. Then the banter of okay, guys, let's have this conversation because here it is that the point that they're even. Why is Vanderbilt ahead over behind this, or why is Notre Dame ahead of Miami, or vice versa? And then we can banter about, okay, one should be up a slot, one down. But I want the accountability of you don't get off not putting your top 25 in private. And like, then you try to convince me of why we are moving somebody up when everybody's votes are all in before we release it to ESPN and to the world. I want you to stand up there and tell me why you did it, not, oh, well, I agree with him. And so you're scratching out yours. We'll all scratch it out on one on the board, but I need all 13 to give me their private list with a name, and then we do a point system, and then we can go about bantering before we turn in our final list. I don't want it to just be, well, I watched some this weekend, but tell me why this team's 7. Okay, I agree with you. You know what I mean? That's not the way this is set up, and maybe it isn't like that. Maybe it's the right way, but I want everybody's accountability, name on it, and a point system, and then all of a sudden banter about it before we release it and tell you why 1 instead of 2 on a point system, and here's how the point criteria is. And just we're an analytics group, right? But I also think the naked eye has to come into it. But if you're watching with the naked eye, are you watching them all? Are you literally watching all these games together? Not just in a room, but during the week. You're not there on a Thursday game, or a Friday night game. And I know we're all over the place with this, but they're all over the place with it. So we have no choice but to be all over the place with it. The ending criteria, is there a set in stone criteria plus the salesmanship of somebody who thinks one's better than the other?
Well, and here's a whole nother issue you have with it, because who were the first two teams left out of the college football playoff last night? Texas, Oklahoma. Who's in there? Memphis. Who do you not see on the college football playoff top 25? Memphis, because they are the top ranked non-power four school and they get a seat at the table when it comes to the college football playoff. So as of right now, we have a team that is not ranked in the top 25. They are 8-1. Now they haven't really played anybody besides South Florida, who had a great start to the season, but have kind of fallen off. They are not ranked in the top 25. In the AP poll, I think they're 23 or 24. In the college football playoff rankings, they are not ranked, yet they are in the playoff. Do you have a problem with that? If come the final day of the season, they're 9-1, and I'm sure they would be ranked, but if they're 11-1 and they're not ranked, they're 26th. Do you have a problem with them being in the playoff? Just because they are a non-power four?
You should. Yet the rules are set up that a non-power four gets a go at it, correct?
Yeah.
The rules are set up. And so with the rules set up like that, Segs, I don't like the rule. I know this is going to sound so simplistic. I want the 12 best teams. I don't care how many are represented. I just don't. And you're going to say, well, what about the little guy? Well, then the little guy better schedule his non-conference better be scheduled big. I hate to say it. It's not a fair system. Well, what is? What do we think Memphis, if they get in, is honestly going to roll through all those teams and make it to the playoff? I mean, to the championship. They're not. That doesn't mean that Memphis, it's not dogging you, playing really great football. But if their schedule, if you're going by body of work, schedule, power schedule, all that head-to-head things, they're not in the top 25, but you're going to shove them into the top 12 when all is said and done. I feel for the little guy. Unfortunately, the little guy better schedule the big guy and beat him.
And they did schedule Arkansas, who they beat 32-31. But Arkansas also fired their coach and are bad this year. And
Petrino's got them playing a little bit better football. But in truth, they just weren't good at the time that they got beat. I mean, in Arkansas's game, should I say. So I don't either, Segs. I don't want to ever take away the Memphises and the Boise States of the world. But – that's a long jump to be out of the top 25, and then we got you playing in the top 12, right?
It's not fair.
Well, yep, you're right. But until we do this, and if Memphis goes on and win it, then you get to validate it. Unfortunately, Memphis or Boise State are going to have a hard time rolling through. I'm just using those guys as an example, rolling through all those games as a non-Power Force conference school and getting in and then rolling through it. You're going to have to – and you got to win your conference and you got to do it emphatically. But I don't know, Segs, do you against the top 12 teams playing? Do you care? Would you rather just have strike the schedule and all the criteria? I don't care if you're
– I think winning a Power Four conference gets you in. I do think that. But, like, they're doing it. They don't get a top four seed automatically.
Yeah, but outside the Power Four, yeah. Right.
So, like, technically we argued about Virginia, who's the top-ranked ACC. They're in.
So they're not going to get a top four seed.
They're in. They're the 11th seed, and Memphis would be the 12th as of the way things stand in this one that came out. But it's just the fact of how they rank these teams and how a Notre Dame team may be taken away from – another team that should be in terms of just the way the schedule is set up.
I am okay with the four best getting that bye in 12 teams like this, as opposed to four conference champions. I have no problem, but I do like the conference champion getting in, but you don't get the bye week, because if it had it that way, I mean, look at last year.
I get it,
but a couple of those teams that won and got a bye shouldn't have got one. That's my point.
For sure. Staying in the college football world, Hugh Freeze was fired. This was a few days ago. Auburn now looking for another head coach. They had Gus Malzahn. Then they went to Brian Harsin, and now Hugh Freeze, all fired. Things haven't gone well for years at the University of Auburn, football wise. And you asked yesterday, why isn't Auburn a better job? It's a team that, you know, 10 years ago was competing every single year. With LSU, with Alabama, with Georgia, with all the top teams.
Gus Malzahn's teams were pretty damn good for him.
Right, until the very end. And even then, he was still good. He wasn't, like, competing for SEC championships. But it's gone downhill quick. And when you're talking about the best jobs available, I think clearly they're fourth, but they're a tier down from Penn State, Florida, and LSU.
Think about that, though. And the question for me is, why is that? You know, and the expectations. Let's say you're the Auburn coach and you win 9 or 10 games. Well, what they're doing to Josh Heupel, the rumors about Heupel, I know you're going to bring up, Segs, at Tennessee. I would give Josh Heupel an extension.
Yes.
When did it become with this company? Okay, over the last decade, you know, I can name you the teams that have won national championships, from Alabama, LSU, Georgia. What are we going to say? 4 or 5 teams have won the last 10, or what? It feels like that, right?
Yeah.
Ohio State, Michigan, all Clemson. 5 or 6 of the big, right? So with that, I think, okay, so we know who those are. And now with NIL and transfer portal, you can get good quick, but you can also diminish your roster in a hurry if you have an exodus of players that want to go get paid somewhere else. And you can be a Power Four good school and do it. Auburn's a good program. They've had great players over the course of time. They have access to good recruiting. And I'm saying, okay, are our expectations too much for Auburn? Meaning, and even Tennessee, when did 9 or 10 wins a year think that it's time to fire a coach? Because in truth, if that's the case, then we got to limit it to 5 or 6 teams, and every other coach needs to be fired if his team after 3 years wins 9 or 10 games and doesn't win a national title. I mean – Brian Kelly got paid $100 million, hadn't won a national title as head coach, whatever it was. Yep. So I'm using him as an example. So when is – I understand it after Nick Saban, 9 wins isn't enough for Alabama. But when's the last time Cam Newton – when did he win his national title, Segs?
When was that? 12, 13, 14?
Yeah, or earlier than that because of his.
Yeah, maybe it was earlier than that.
Yeah. But my point is, so Auburn won one, but are we at the point where we expect Auburn to win 11, 12 games every year, being the national title? And that job seems like a good job that you'd want, right? You can Auburn. It's not like it's what's that?
2010.
There you go. But the Auburn job, you're like, man, it feels like a really good job and should be. You think, okay, good players. Why isn't it? Why aren't they dominant? It's one side of it, but the other side of it, when are we getting to the point of that at Tennessee, you win 9 or 10 games and you're in the hunt every year, that's fire, that we should be firing that guy. Do you really, I mean, when's the last time Tennessee won a national title? Philip Fulmer and yep. and that group, right?
Yep.
So it's hard. And it's like comparing quarterbacks, all of them compared to come out to Mahomes. Stop it. There's another group that's really good that you can compare. It's the same thing here. If you're not winning championships like Nick Saban and Kirby Smart, then guess what? But there's only a couple of those type of sacred cow jobs. So are we jumping too quickly, or did Hugh Freeze get enough time? And if he did get enough time, why isn't Auburn a great job, and why can't they win a national title again? Or do you have to have Cam Newton to come back and do it?
I will say Mike Vittery here in the comments said it perfectly, because you can't upset your fan base of younger fans, because it like we've talked about with the quarterbacks and everything, you have to succeed now. And I'm sorry to say, Tennessee fans, Auburn's fans, I think they have a little clouded judgment of what they think they are. They think they're Alabama Ohio Georgia. State, Michigan, you know, those top tier teams that we see competing every single year for the most part, but they're not. They're that tier down where if you win 9, 10 games a year, and then at some point, I would say within 6 years, you need to be at least compete for a national title, especially now with the 12 team playoff. You need to be in there competing, fighting for one of those spots every single year. And if you lose a game late, maybe it knocks you down to 18 and you miss out and you play in a good bowl game. But I think it's just the expectations now of everything. And I'm not just saying college football. It's NBA teams. It's NFL teams. It's NFL quarterbacks. It's this top prospect coming up in baseball, that if they're not good over their first 20 at-bats, we call them busts. So it's just – it's such a – and it's social media-based, I think, is the biggest reason of it. Because more dumb fans get their opinions out there. And – that gets louder and louder and louder. And then boom, we have these expectations placed on them. And then the media runs with it. And then it's okay. Bye bye, Hugh Freeze.
And it's one thing, you're exactly right. Our attention span and all that. And going back to your point of like Auburn and Tennessee. And I know that, okay, it's SEC football. It's the South. They love their football, and rightfully so. They've had tremendous success.
Want to win.
No question. And expect and hire that you shouldn't settle for mediocrity or
right.
above agreed. Mediocrity. And if you've been there 10 years and you keep winning 9 games, can't get them over the hump, the speech is time to make a change. I get it.
Move on. Yes.
So I get it. Right. But here's Auburn and Tennessee. And this is not a slight on them, because I think, listen, we've seen like hell Tennessee a couple years ago, if Hendon Hooker doesn't get hurt, who knows what's going to happen
right.
with that team. You know, you never know. We say the same thing about Florida State. If that doesn't happen, what would have happened to them in the playoffs if their quarterback doesn't get hurt? So I get it. But here's the way I look at Auburn and Tennessee. I look at Alabama and Georgia as Mahomes and Burrow and Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. I look at Alabama and Tennessee right now, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, that group, maybe even Jared Goff, you know, that's close, that's really good.
Have the ability to go win.
Yes, yes.
But next year, they might just win.
Right, right. And if throw Stafford in the elite, they're really, really good. Their programs, then they've done some great things, yet they're not quite at the level where we say, I expect a national championship team every year.
Yes.
And yet, if I'm a coach right now, I'd want the Auburn job in a heartbeat, because you know that it's on the cusp. They're always on the cusp, right? Regardless of record,
right.
they're a year away from like, damn, we turned it around quickly. You can see it turn quick. They can make quantum leaps. So that's kind of the way I look at it. The fans should have expectations, but unfortunately, the expectations for Tennessee and Auburn, realistic expectations are, they're not Alabama and Georgia yet. They're still a cut below, even though they can beat them in head-to-head once in a while.
Yeah.
And we've seen it. But overall, the product is you're just a step down and firing the coach seems like – but I think Tennessee would be making a monster mistake to fire Josh Heupel. I do.
100%.
I think he's done some amazing things with them. That would go to the – this is just knee-jerk shit. You got to stop it because of social media buildup. You got beat last week or you lost a couple games. Josh Heupel's a good football coach. and the grass isn't always greener, just ask Auburn. Just ask Auburn. One or two down years doesn't mean the program's into the shitter. We got to have a little more patience, especially you got to start looking at rosters and transfer portal and how it does. And if you're not arming somebody with enough ammunition, Texas Tech wasn't. Look what Texas Tech has done being armed with ammunition and a coach that can coach and change the culture. But Texas Tech, while the expectations are big, it's West Texas, it's football. If they don't win a national title, Segs, or they end up getting beat in the first round of the playoffs, if you're Texas Tech fans, don't bury the coach and say, man, we didn't get enough out of it. You are rising, and you got to run with that guy. And that's part of it.
Sure. Had a ad pop up and start playing in my ears. Surprise. It was not ready.
Hello, 01. You need more Coach Shavy in my life? You can get him. He's at social media. Monday. He comes on here on Mondays. The reason he's not in here full time, he's got his own show in the morning 5 days a week. So you can go there too at Coach JB Show. You get him here on Mondays. So if you want more of him, there's plenty of place to get him, and he's really good. And we love having JB on too. But for people to have a normal life, you can't do two shows 5 days a week regularly on a consistent basis. He's got to have an obligation to his show, or we'd ball hog him too. But you can get him, and you can get good shit here too with him on Monday and the other 4 days a week when he's not here, and you can get him 5 days a week on his show. There you go. Pretty simple. Right. So if you need more, go find it. He's out there, and he's really good at it.
Before we get out of here, last thing, and this goes to our poll question yesterday. Should Deion Sanders be on the hot seat at Colorado? Your options were yes, no, not yet, but trending that way, basically. Yes, 60.7% of the vote. No, 16.7, not yet, but leaning that way. Seats warmer, 22.7. So basically 82% of the vote, 83% of the vote have him that seat should be hot or he should be out at Colorado. I've been talking about this for a few weeks that I think he should have been on the hot seat when I talked about Luke Fickell, who still has a job for some reason at Wisconsin. Deion, I think it ran its course. It feels like it's run its course at Colorado. Started off with a bang, all the pub, everything. They didn't have that great first year. We're still kind of building it. Had the good year with Shadur and Travis Hunter. You know, 8-4, I think they were, something like that, 9-3. And now this year they come out and they've given up 50 points back-to-back games. They've only scored, I think, like 24 points in those games. So they've been outscored 108 to like 26, 27, something like that. It's just, it feels like it's run its course. Do you think that it's run its course there in Colorado with Deion and he should be either moving on elsewhere, but he also has a lot of health concerns.
That's
kind of take care of himself for a little bit.
Took the words right out of my mouth. The health concerns appear to be very real as Deion's addressed them. And that's the most important thing. Whether it's run its course or not, the course is going the wrong way. You're swimming upstream right now. He has impacted Colorado in a huge way. So even if he gets fired or moves on, you could say, did Deion do good things and impact the program? The answer is absolutely yes. But he's not sacred cow enough because his playing career and because he's animated and he impacted. And he had, with Travis Hunter and his kid, he had good players, a couple good players. And so they've made strides. The win-loss column says no. But he has made – he put it this way. He single-handedly brought visibility to a program that
we
didn't have any from back in the day. So he's impacted them. But the team's not getting better. They're getting worse. And I understand the quarterback matters and the rest of it. Then you got to recruit better because isn't that one of Deion's greats to be able to go in to a living room and or when they come to his office, say, come play for Colorado, transfer portal. They've given him some money to spend. The bottom line is, yes, just like any other coach, he should be under fire. His impact is felt. There is no doubt he's made an impact. But eventually the impact is not going to – and I got – there's some of the gloss or the shine is off the star impact. How many times now are we going to Colorado on Friday night and all the celebrities are standing there watching? Not very many, right? And I understand what it hit. It was like Showtime in Los Angeles with the Lakers. I get it. And Deion may go on and be a coach somewhere else. He may stay there and he may go impact and win a national title. I get it because he can coach. But health, the commitment is he still getting the same buy-in he got? I think he's demoted, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was on here as well. But demoted Pat Shurmur, offense coordinator. When that starts to creep in, you automatically know shit's not good there. So impact felt dramatically has impacted it right. But sometimes you come in where life and football coaching, the rest is about moments. And I think his moment is spent there. It's probably time to at least look into, is the buy-in from organization to him to the organization, or his eyes elsewhere, or is somebody else trying to court him, or is it run its course and he'll be back to being a broadcaster and that'll be fine. His impact is felt, but Colorado's not a good football team. And sometimes when it's not good, you still got to be making strides to be better, even if it doesn't translate into wins. And they're not. Colorado's taking a step back, and we always judge coaches by, you know, not just potential, but production, and their production is not good.
Let me ask you this. So we know things aren't great with Mike Norvell in Florida State, right? I mean, they're just not getting to the level that they want to be since that rough year where they lost Jordan Travis at the end and did it. College football Final Four and all that. If you're Florida State and you do fire Mike Norvell, and it, let's say it has nothing to do with Deion or anything, would Deion be an option that you're looking at, or are you looking at it from afar and saying, okay, I see how things kind of went. I know he's our alum. We love him. He's done a lot for our school as well. But maybe we just kind of want to stay away from Deion and go get a football coach that we think can be here long, long term.
First off, if you're telling me, Sean, they find out his health is good. Okay, let's say Colorado fires him and Deion's healthy. 100%. I got to interview him, and here's why, Siggs. One is, I believe Deion Sanders understands football. I like how he does, gets his kids to class and the rest. But I know some people don't like all the pomp and circumstance that goes with it. Deion's got more substance and pomp and circumstance, and you may not like the way he goes about, you know, putting his kid's jersey, all that stuff. Okay, I get all that. I'm just about straight football. He does know football. Key is, you also got to make sure when you're hiring, you hire people that can help you win, and that not your friends, not any of that. You got to hire people that are best. And if they are your friends, great. Then you got to work together. I would interview him at Florida State. Here's why, Siggs. There will be no more talked about team in the country, whether it's good or bad. If he goes back to his alma mater and is the head coach there, everybody will say, now he's got players. Now he can take what he did at Colorado, heighten the brand again at Florida State. But now he's got players. He can go get all these guys because people are going to want to play for Deion. Because even though people like playing for Deion, it's still Colorado. They don't have the NIL money they want. They don't have the chance. They're not a national championship contender. So players are still going to, well, I love Deion, but I'm going to go to Florida. I love Deion, but I'm going to go to Florida State if he was still at Colorado. So his ability to go to a big-time powerhouse blue blood program and then know he can get that and know he's got good players. I would like to see Deion Sanders with great players all over the field to see what he would do. Yeah. If I'm Florida State, I do interview him if Mike Norvell gets fired, not just because he's an alumni, because, well, you know, you think that you thought the celebrity go-to at Colorado was huge. If you're just looking for that pizzazz and brand awareness, he'll bring it. And then we got to find out if he can coach. Deion did some really good things at Colorado. I would interview him, but I'm interviewing based on football merit and what he can do to build my program. And I'm not interviewing him to win 9 games. It's Florida State. I'm interviewing him to win Bobby Bowden national championships. Is he the best candidate? I don't know. But I would go through the process of seeing, okay, what would he be like doing what he did at Colorado with better players? Because they don't have that many good players. They just don't. Yeah. And so I'm not giving him an excuse. I don't know if they'd hire him, Sanks. I don't know if he still wants the grind. Maybe he would. But it'd be very if you're him and they offer you the job, I'd leave Colorado. Yeah. There's no doubt, because you got a better chance to win. So I think it's worth an interview and worth a deep dive. But you got to know that in 3 years, will my program be better off with Deion Sanders than it is with Mike Norvell or somebody else? But what's an interview cost? A plane ticket? Yes, I would interview.
Makes sense. All right, before we get out of here, we do our bet of the day every single day. Today, your Los Angeles Lakers, because you're a Lakers fan, with Luka, are taking on Wemby and the Spurs. Lakers are a 2.5-point favorite. Over-under set at 227.5. How you think this goes for your Lakers?
No LeBron. Give me the over.
Give you the over. Okay.
Yep.
Over on the 20. I'm going to take the Spurs plus 2.5.
I think that's not only completely fair. I'm trying not to pick both. But, yeah, I would.
Yeah, that's.
I would like the over. For me, LeBron or no LeBron, give me the over in the game, because it's at Los Angeles, and you like the road dog in this, Siggs. I get it. But I guess I feel safer because one three-point shot pissed me off. I feel safer with the over knowing that both teams can score, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. What's Mike says, what's Bronny's line? 0-0-0-0-0-0.
Take the under. So do you like the over in the game too, Six?
I would lean the over. I think defensively, I think the Spurs are still trying to figure it out, but Wemby's such a presence defensively.
That you can't cover them all, though. That's the problem, right?
That is the problem. So I'll say, I would say slightly over. So I
would expect a couple Lakers to get theirs tonight, and we know who those names are, and I would expect Wemby to get his as well.
Yeah.
Give me the over. This is a game in the 230s. That's pushing 230. That's pretty high over in the NBA. I'd take the over in this game, even though it's still a high number. What, 227, you said? Something like that?
Yeah, 227.
Yeah, I would take the over in this game.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll do it for us today. A lot to talk about tomorrow as we get ready for this football weekend. We got Thursday night football tomorrow night. We've got some big matchups in college and then the NFL. We keep talking about how it's going to be. It's been a weird season. You know, we get upsets here. This team beats this team, then turns around and beats this team. And it's just such a weird season so far that I think let's look at the schedule tomorrow. And maybe look at some teams and say that game has the smell of one of the games we've seen in the past where the Falcons beat the Bills or, you know, the Colts get manhandled by the Steelers or something like that. So I think looking ahead to the NFL and seeing which games smell weird to us.
Sounds good to me, brother.
All right.
I'm all in. Make sure you guys subscribe to YouTube. Yes. All of it unpaved. Follow us at Adam G. Sager and at Sean Unfiltered. But also, we'd love your subscription as we continue to go. Some exciting things happening, not only with advertisers, but expansion of studio. It's going to look different as we look to next. Starting on next Monday, it's going to look different.
Yes.
And then when we add the studio to that. So we got a good team. We're going to try to give it to you right every single day and authentic and without giving you fatigue of yelling in your face and telling you shit that we don't believe. So you'll try to get that every single week on here. But we love your guys' insight. And it continues to grow. And we're pretty happy with where it's headed. And hopefully you guys are too.
All right. Thanks to Triple E. Thanks to Laura, as always. Thanks to all our listeners. Thanks to you, Sean. We will be back tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. Talk to you guys later. Peace.